Hello and welcome to episode 694 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. Let's be honest. No one cares about Sunday's game. All they care about is props, and more props. And honestly, can't say I disagree. I have spent the last week or so relentlessly poring over every book, every offering, every prop, to which there are hundreds, if not thousands of them, to discuss all things Super Bowl props. Here today, I'm joined by two young men you know and you love. It is Evan Silva and it is Michael Leone. Evan, happy Super Bowl week. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. I love doing this show every year. My matchup write-up for the game just went up on the site, establishtherun.com. And here I am, once again, drinking the tears of one Mike Leone.
Oh, my God.
It tastes good. The tears taste good.
Allow me to service the audio listeners. Evan is taking his sip from his customized cup. Looks like a Stanley or something like that, with Leone's face on it. So be sure you go to YouTube to check that out. It is quite disgusting. Anyways, Leone, how's it going today?
Pretty good. It was going a little better before I knew, you know, Silva was going to pull this intimidation card of drinking my tears before I even got to speak. So I'm a little shook.
Last year on this show, we had fun times such as me talking about how ridiculous the price was on a field goal to hit the upright. And a field goal did hit the upright, so that was not good.
We also we also
had, I believe, Leone touting yet another unathletic player to score multiple touchdowns in Justin Watson. He usually does this with guys like Brock Wright and guys like that to score multiple touchdowns. But anyways, the point that I'm making is that this show is not necessarily projection-based bets. It's not necessarily math-based bets. We are going to do a roundtable here of sorts. We'll discuss some props for the Super Bowl we've either taken or we like. And yeah, you know, a lot of the stuff that we show value on from a math standpoint, we've dropped into the prop sub. Those lines move very fast. The stuff we'll talk about today could be projection-based, but also could be personal plays that we're on, some line shopping angles, firing from the gut. Who knows? We're here to have fun. It is, of course, the Super Bowl after all. Before we get into that, I know many of you are going to bet on Sunday Super Bowl, or you're going to bet on March Madness. If you're going to do that, you have to really hate money to not get paid to sign up for the sports books. The juice that you're paying, the rake that you're paying, part of that is to fund these crazy deposit bonuses that the books offer. So before you sign up for any book ahead of the Super Bowl or March Madness, head to establishtherun.com, go to the props tab, and then go to the page titled ETR Sportsbook Offers by State. You'll find all the best sign-up bonus offers there. Second, I can't believe I'm saying this, but in the spirit of full-blown Team No Sex, our friends at Underdog have already launched the first best ball tournament of the 2024 season. And yes, we have our first run of rankings live on the site, includes the rookies who will be drafted in April. So if you are a sick, sick pup, you can use our 2024 best ball rankings on Underdog Fantasy right now. Promo code ETR for the $100 deposit match. That's promo code ETR at underdogfantasy.com. All right, boys, it's time to get into here with the props. We're going to go around in a circle here. We'll discuss each person's props. I'll go first, then Evan, then Leone. My first one is one that I hope Evan likes. Will Travis Kelce score a touchdown in this game? And by the way, not all books offer two-way markets on here. And by two-way market, I mean yes and no. Generally speaking, I think people should be looking for books that offer two-way markets wherever they can. This is, will Travis Kelce score a touchdown on Sunday? No is my play. Minus 105 on Circa. It's minus 120 on DraftKings. It's minus 130 on ESPN. One point I wanted to make about this specific Super Bowl. It is in Las Vegas. Rich whales are coming in from all over the world. The public is descending on Vegas for this game. You get enough of these people and lines can move. And honestly, maybe the lines on this Kelce stuff already have. I mean, I can't freaking leave my house without someone telling me the NFL is rigged, Goodell is in on it, they want the Chiefs in the Super Bowl for ratings, Taylor Swift makes them all this money, so Kelce's going to score a touchdown in this game. It's sickening. So look, I get that Travis Kelce is playing really well in the playoffs. He's still 34 years old. He scored just 5 touchdowns all regular season. He has a very difficult matchup, I think, with the highly athletic interior of the 49ers. And we only have to lay minus 105 on no touchdowns. I would note that if you don't have access to Circa, I do think that this line could get better closer to the game as the Swifties start betting Travis Kelce, yes, to score a touchdown. And there's other lines that can move too. I mean, Kelsey's at over 6.5 catches, minus 160 right now on DK. That could go even higher. We have Kelsey's median at 7.0 right now. So if that gets even higher, 7.5, or really good juice on under 6.5, I'm interested there as well. So Evan, I know Travis Kelce stole your girl. What do you think about Travis Kelce? No touchdown in Sunday's game.
So how I wrote it up, it's a really difficult matchup for Travis Kelce. Really difficult. Through two playoff games, the 49ers have allowed 7.8 yards per reception and 5.3 yards per target to opposing tight ends. They have the most athletic linebacker duo in the NFL in Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, so they're very much equipped to deal with someone like Travis Kelce or any athletic tight end. During the regular season, the 49ers were also obviously very tough on tight ends, allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points to the position. The thing that scares me, obviously, are the things that we know, and that's the on-field connection that Patrick Mahomes has with Travis Kelce, and he's still a really good route runner, even though he doesn't move as quickly as he used to.
Yeah.
So I wrote in my my write-up that I'm passing on Travis Kelce stuff. But I think that if I were to pick a prop to go under on it, I think it would be his touchdown projection.
Okay, yeah. And to be clear, we do not show edges from a projection standpoint on Kelce unders. I think we could, though, if the Swifties start bloating up his lines even more closer to kick. Evan, why don't you go ahead with your first prop for the people?
I'm going to go with like groups of props because I have a lot of stuff that I like. And you can read about it all on the matchups column, but it's all in there. I'm going to start with Deebo Samuel stuff because it's my favorite. And I actually bet Deebo Samuel over 55.5 receiving yards on like Monday, and it's already up to 58.5. I still like it. If I was going to do a stat projection for Deebo Samuel, he would be at like 71 receiving yards, I think. And I also like Deebo Samuel to at plus 500. So this is 5-1 to go over 125 combined rushing and receiving yards, 125 yards from scrimmage. And I like him as an MVP long shot because I think that this is another scenario where like Brock Purdy isn't going to get MVP, even if he plays a really good game, which I don't think he's going to play a really good game, by the way. And we'll get to that with my next prop. But the situation sets up pretty well for Deebo Samuel. Number one, he doesn't really run like isolation routes at cornerbacks. They're going to get him layup targets. When he has been healthy, he has been an absolute machine and consistently the focal point of the 49ers game plan with the exception of Christian McCaffrey. George Kittle is banged up, okay? I do not like Ayuk's matchup. Ayuk is going to have to deal with L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. Deebo Samuel has the best matchup in the 49ers pass catcher core, and obviously we know how dynamic he is and how he is featured and awesome whenever he's healthy, and he's healthy right now.
So I think that the MVP discussion is the most interesting one to me because normally the quarterback of the favored team in the Super Bowl is a big favorite to be the MVP of the game. However, because of all the narratives around Purdy, the 49ers win in spite of him, not because of him, and he's not that valuable. I kind of agree with Evan that it's not, I don't say a long shot, but relative to other quarterbacks of favored teams, Purdy, I would consider a longer shot than usual to be the MVP. And then you start bringing in all these secondary pieces on the 49ers. There was 20-1. There was 25-1. FanDuel had an off-market 33-1. And that's something I want to really emphasize for people on the Super Bowl. If you like something and Evan likes the Deebo MVP, I'm intrigued by it. I didn't really want to take it at 20-1. I didn't really want to take it at 25-1. But if you shop enough on the Super Bowl stuff, you get some crazy off-market lines and 33-1 on Deebo. I did take a little taste on there once Evan told me about that one.
Yeah, the other nice thing with the Deebo MVP is like you get some leverage off CMC and Purdy, who are the favorites for MVP for the 49ers. Because if Deebo can get a rushing touchdown, you know, it's a non-Purdy play.
Right.
It's taking away from CMC. And, you know, that makes it interesting. Sometimes it's hard for the pass catcher to separate unless you get like you know, a 10, 11 catch type game.
Right.
But
And I actually like Christian McCaffrey as an MVP bet. He's right around 5-1 where I've seen it. And I mean, he's had his teammates coming out and calling him the MVP of the team, which I do think that goes some way for the voters, number one. And number two, like, this is kind of the voters' way of getting CMC back for him not winning the actual MVP. And I think that if the 49ers win, like, you know, 5-1 for him, I would bet both. I actually did bet both. I bet McCaffrey and Debo Samuel at their respective prices.
All right. I think CMC is the most likely 49er MVP, even though the market has Purdy as the more likely MVP right now. All right, Leone, let's go with your first prop here of the day.
Okay, I put this one in on an article that's going to be up on establishedrun.com, but under 4.5 San Francisco players with a rush attempt, -162 on FanDuel. I think this should be a much heavier favorite. If you look at the options here, you basically got Purdy, Debo, and CMC as locks for carries. Elijah Mitchell, let's call it like 50-50, and then Juszczyk has a carry in like 4 of 20 games or so, roughly. So it basically comes down to like, does Juszczyk get a carry or not? And then even if Juszczyk gets a carry, you have some outs. Elijah Mitchell didn't have a carry in the first playoff game. He was pretty close to not having a carry in the second playoff game as well. And Purdy's also had a few games this year where he hasn't had a carry. I don't think that's likely, but again, you've got some outs. And even if Juszczyk does get the carry, and I think Juszczyk's a pretty big dog to get a carry. So I actually think this is like really, really good. It might be skewed because Juszczyk's last game, he had a carry after not having one for like 10 games. And then also because, you know, Juwan Jennings had that carry that he wasn't supposed to get in the Green Bay game. So I wonder if the market's like a little bit messed up just from, you know, those two things happening the last two games.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting. And again, to Leone's point, Eli Mitchell was not going to get into that game last week until CMC on one of the last plays on a long run came down on his head and looked like he banged up his shoulder or his neck a little bit. Eli Mitchell comes in, gets the final three carries of the game there. So yeah, if Eli Mitchell doesn't get a carry in the Super Bowl, this one is almost certainly going to hit. I like that one. I might bet that when we get off the air here. All right. My second prop is a long shot. It is who will have the longest reception in the game? Which player will have the longest reception in the game? FanDuel has Christian McCaffrey at +1900. We are able, through our projections and our data side team, able to price this market out. We make CMC +1349 to have the longest reception in the game. This is one that I took last week also at like 30-1, and CMC did have a 28-yard reception, which was tied for the longest in the game, except for that Ayuk play where that one where it just crushed off his face and off the defender's face on the Lions, and Ayuk caught it and he ended up having the longest reception in the game. But from I thought that was super live at 30-1. I took this one at 28-1 and 25-1. It's now 19-1. But also from a narrative perspective, I mean, hard to throw at the perimeter against the Chiefs. CMC has 17 targets in 2 playoff games so far. He had 3 catches for 30 plus yards during the regular season. He's just so good at breaking tackles and making good plays. So CMC 19-1 to have the longest reception in the game. Again, we make that +1349. So even though lines come down a bunch, still a decent edge there.
Really like the price on that one.
All right, Evan, your second prop for the people.
I'm just going kind of all in on anti-Brock Purdy. I'm really worried that he's not going to play well. Again, George Kittle didn't practice during the first week of, you know, the week leading up to the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, I think George Kittle is going to play, and I think he may play fine, but he didn't practice with a toe injury. Toe injuries scare me. I don't think Ayuk is in a good spot. Ayuk has been Purdy's dude for really a year and a half. I remember going back and looking at when I was doing my 49ers team preview, and I looked at how efficient Purdy and Brandon Ayuk were last year in the 8 or 9 games or whatever that Purdy started. And I was like, I'm moving Brandon Ayuk up my rankings, and he wound up being like a second team all pro. I think he's in a tough spot. I think they're going to lean heavily on Debo, Christian McCaffrey. But I think that look, if you look at the way that the Chiefs defense is playing right now, they face Tua, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson in each of their first three playoff games, and they shut them all down. Combined 57% completion rate, 5.7 yards per pass attempt, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, none of those quarterbacks played well, and those are some of the best quarterbacks in football. Lamar Jackson going to win MVP. Josh Allen's probably going to finish second or third in MVP voting, you know. So I took the under on Purdy first half passing yards at 126.5. I took the under on his full game passing yards at 246.5. And I took the under on his touchdown passes at 1.5 touchdown passes at -105. Only two NFL teams during the regular season allowed fewer yards per pass attempt than the Chiefs. And the blitzes and everything that Steve Spagnuolo is going to bring. This defense is on fire, and I think it's going to get the best of Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Leone, on the Purdy stuff. And we did take, as an official, Purdy under 32.5 pass attempts in this game. And I talked to Davidow about this a little bit, too, on the show last week. How do you factor in what we've seen from Purdy in his last, I don't know, 3 or 4 games where he has been bad? I mean, since the Ravens game, I do not think Purdy has been good at all. And that I'm talking about that Ravens regular season game, obviously. But before that, man, the guy was absolutely...
I would say he was good in the second half against the Lions, but yo, the Lions have like one of the worst defenses in the league.
Nick Mullins was good against the Lions also. You know what I mean? Right. So, yeah. So how do we contrast that with the full season scope on Purdy? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, Evan Cleary thinks the market hasn't reacted enough to Chiefs defense and the way Purdy's played lately. I think you can make a case that maybe Purdy finds his form here, but it's still a very, very difficult matchup. So yeah, any thoughts on handling Purdy from a projection standpoint, Leone? And then yeah, you can go to your second prop also.
I mean, it's been difficult, not just for the reasons you said, but just all year long, because they've been such an outlier from an efficiency standpoint. And in particular, like marrying the efficiency with the volume, because sometimes you're projecting more volume because you're assuming some regression in the efficiency, right? Like if you're averaging 10 yards per attempt, you're going to have less pass plays because you're completing them at a high rate. You're having these, you know, drives that don't have a lot of plays. So we've had some difficulty where we've kind of overprojected his attempts over the course of the season. Part of the reason why we liked this under here, but the flip side is if he's inefficient, like Evan thinks he is, they're going to throw a little bit more. You know, he's probably going to have to, because they're going to have more plays per drive, more efficiency, more likely to be trailing in the game. So it's been kind of a nightmare. We have his efficiency a little worse than we probably would have it in a regular season game, but we still have him over 8 yards per attempt, which is really, really good for any quarterback. For him, it's low, but for the offense, I should say, it's low. But yeah, for him, it's quite high.
It is high, especially against this defense, because again, Lamar Jackson, Tua, Josh Allen in these last 3 games combined average 5.7 yards per pass attempt against the Chiefs. They are on fire right now.
Yeah, I do say I probably like Purdy in this game a little bit more than Evan. I don't love him, but you know, whether it's due to Purdy, due to Shanahan, or the offense overall, I do think you know, the San Francisco offense is still going to run pretty well.
All right, go ahead with your second one here, Leone.
Okay, I'm going to take under on this kind of collection of bets. Like Evan said, he's grouping bets, but I think some of these rush yardage totals are too high. Evan and I might disagree a little bit on some of these, but like the game total rush yards under 233.5, I think that's -110 on FanDuel, and it's like 235.5 -115 on Caesars. We have the median more like 220. I think the biggest kind of spot where we could be wrong is the quarterback rushing. You know, it can be difficult to know how much to bump these guys in the playoffs. We painfully lost to Mahomes under the first week where he ran literally twice, but he scrambled for so many yards that he went over anyways. He hasn't really run a ton this playoffs, keeping up, you know, with the narratives that he runs a lot. He really hasn't, but I know Miko dropped some stuff in our Slack that, you know, San Francisco doesn't blitz a ton, and that's when Mahomes is actually more likely to scramble, is when the coverage is locked down, but he's got, you know, more of those running lanes because there's less pass rushers coming at him. So, and Purdy ran a bunch last week. So that's like my biggest concern. But overall, I think especially if Kansas City falls behind, I could see them, you know, abandon the run and really throw a ton and use the short passing game as an extension of the running game. So I like
that's this what they did against the Ravens, at least in the first half last week.
Yeah, they did that against the Ravens. And I like the under on Pacheco's. I think he's up. We took this as an official for our subscribers, but Super Bowl week's different. This line's actually hung around. So under 69.5 rush yards, somewhere around minus 110. If you can get plus 100, I think that's a really strong bet.
All right. Yeah, sounds like Jerick McKinnon is not going to play in this game. I know there's been some controversy about that. Latest word is Jerick McKinnon not expected to play in the Super Bowl. So we'll have CEH and Pacheco playing, I think, a pretty similar role to what we've seen through the playoffs here so far. All right. My next one is going to be not as long of a long shot, but still a bit of a long shot. There's some props out there on both Caesars and DraftKings. The question is, will either quarterback in the game throw for 350 yards or more? Again, will either quarterback in the game throw for 350 pass yards or more? I took yes on this at plus 425 on Caesars. It's plus 360 on DraftKings. We make it plus 302 for this to happen. And like, it's kind of hard to get your head around some of these tail outcomes, right? And that's one thing that by doing stuff from a more math-based, a more simulation-based perspective, you can get your head around tails. Obviously, I don't think it's likely that someone's going to throw for 350 yards in this game. I have a lot of respect for both defenses, although I do think San Francisco's defense can be scored upon. But the tail outcomes, you never know. And 350 or more yards at plus 425 for Brock Purdy or Patrick Mahomes. We also have Purdy alt passing over 308.5 pass yards, 5-1 on DraftKings. We make Purdy plus 279 to throw for 300 plus. Now, Purdy's only had 5 300-yard pass games this year, but he's been pushed so infrequently. This is a short spread, competent offense on the other side, perfect weather. So yeah, you know, when you get stuff like 5-1, I think you need to keep in mind, you only need to get there around 17% of the time to make it a winning bet. So some of these tail outcomes are certainly in play when you can find good numbers. Will either quarterback throw for 350 plus? Yes. Plus 425 on Caesars for my third prop.
It's a price-based bet. I get it. I don't think either of them are going to go over 280. Yeah. I actually have the – you guys know I'm – well, it's a bit at this point because I actually kill on unders now. But I actually took the under on the game, 47.5.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that both offenses may struggle. For my score prediction, which, you know, I'm just throwing out numbers really, you know, just going entirely off feel – I had 49ers 21, Chiefs 20.
I mean, the way the Chiefs have played, you know, lends itself to unders. And, you know, we'll see.
Right. Yeah. And I think that the quarterback for the 49ers is going to struggle.
Yeah.
So yep. To me, that adds up to an under. Anyways, I'm going to almost go directly against Leone as I drink his tears regarding the rushing stuff because – But I actually don't disagree with everything that he said. I think that the game under rushing yards is fine. But I think that the Chiefs are going to run the ball efficiently and potentially a lot against San Francisco. If they've done any kind of film work over the past 2 weeks, you know, the 49ers have been getting trucked by opposing running games. The Packers and the Lions combined, their running backs, we're not even including the quarterback rushing production, although there wasn't much of that, 5.3 yards per carry, 49 carries for 262 yards and 2 touchdowns, 5.3 yards per carry by the Packers and Lions running backs over the last 2 weeks against San Francisco. I mean, they kind of have been getting bullied in the trenches, and if you look at the stylistic characteristics of the Chiefs offensive line, they have some bullies up front. They actually struggle in pass protection, but they will bully you up front. Isaiah Pacheco has over his last 4 games, and first of all, he's rested in 4 of the last 9 weeks, so he has relatively fresh legs. I believe in that as an actual factor late in the season. Over his last 4 games, averaging 23.5 touches for 115 yards and a touchdown over his last 4. No Jerick McKinnon again. The game total on DraftKings for – sorry, not the game total. The Chiefs rushing total line is set at 103.5. I took the over on that at plus 100. I took the over on Isaiah Pacheco, 16.5 rushing yards in the first quarter. I think the Chiefs may come out running the ball. I mean, if you've seen what the 49ers have had happen to them over the last 2 weeks, you should come out running the football. Mm-hmm. You know, Travis Kelce's in a tough spot. We're leaning on MVS, and I mean, you know, Rashee Rice is really strong, but like running the football. And I also think that Mahomes can have a big rushing game. I also took him at over 26.5 rushing yards. Over his last 15 playoff games, he's averaging exactly 26.5 rushing yards. So that's maybe played into how they set this line. But in what I think is going to be a tight game where his pass catchers are not in great spots, I think that Patrick Mahomes can get to 30 rushing yards. Pacheco can get to, 65, and they can sprinkle in a little bit from CEH or whatever, and we can get to over 103.5 rushing yards from the Chiefs as a team.
Yeah. I'll talk more about the first quarter stuff here in a second because I have a first quarter bet. Also, generally speaking, on the Mahomes rush stuff, that's been one that we've looked at a ton because every week, it seems like there is a Mahomes rushing line that's up there in the 20s. It got as high as the 30s at some point during the regular season, and it's been tough to get a handle, I think, on how much Mahomes will run. There is some evidence here that Evan pointed to, and I think there's some other stuff out there that this could be a nice rushing day for Mahomes, so I thought that one is interesting as well.
49ers during the regular season allowed the 11th most rushing yards to quarterbacks.
All right. Leone, I believe we're up to your third prop.
Yeah, one thing, just listening to you guys talk about how Kansas City might run a little bit more from the start. I do think the play volume in this game could be lower than people think. Like, they want to think it's going to be a shootout. And again, we like some stuff on the tail outcomes because there's a chance that if KC gets behind, they just, Mahomes drops back 45 times in this game. There's a chance that, Purdy is able to be really efficient because of the way the San Francisco offense operates. So that's why, the tail outcomes like Adam gave on the pass yards make sense at longer odds. But overall, I think most of this stuff is juiced a little bit. Like, the Super Bowl week in general, stuff's gonna be a little bit juiced. People like to bet the overs. And if I'm looking at our baselines, like as we're trying to set this up, our kind of like weighted rolling average in terms of plays per game has Kansas City like under 62, San Francisco under 59. In terms of plays allowed, has both of them around 60. Those are low numbers. We're projecting more like 123, 124 combined plays, but there's a chance it doesn't get to 120. So if you find stuff that's close, that's an under, I think you could take some shots. One that's not going to be very popular, and I might wait to see if you can get a really good number on it, but Deebo Samuel under 2.5 rush attempts, plus 150 on DK. I'd be pretty price sensitive. It's more like plus 130 elsewhere. But again, there just might not be this play count, and you start to trickle it down. I know like the narrative is going to be like, oh, it's the Super Bowl. They're going to get, they're going to get the ball to Deebo Samuel any way they can. It's not a fun bet to make, but I think at those odds.
But the spreadsheet socialists hate fun anyways.
Yeah, we hate fun anyways. So I think when you start looking at those types of odds, and just in general, like finding unders that are close, that makes sense. Deebo last game, 3 carries for 7 yards. I know he left the Green Bay game early, but he didn't have a carry in that game. And I would maybe wait to see if this pushes to like 3.5, or maybe you get more plus money, but at plus 150, I think it's okay.
I think that's similar to the Kelce one, where if I was going to bet that, I would wait until like Sunday morning to bet that one, because I do think public's going to come in on the Deebo carry overs and stuff like that. So yeah, I would certainly wait there on that one. The play volume thing is super interesting because if you believe that, if you think that the public is overestimating how many players are going to be run in this game, and I think Kansas City could play it super slow and super run heavy, like Evan's saying, I mean, just the under in the game is going to be a good bet if you think the plays are just going to be low. All right. My fourth one is going to be a bit of a favorite here. Who will have more completions in the game? Who will have more completions in the game, Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy? This, I took Mahomes to have more completions than Purdy, minus 200 on Circa, minus 215 on FanDuel. We make this one minus 265 in favor of Mahomes. And to me, it's about the average depth of target and play selection. We know the Chiefs can be the most pass-heavy team in the league. You also get a way lower ADOT, and that's what teams do to the Chiefs. They dare them to throw it underneath. Mahomes takes a lot of underneath stuff. And so just start racking up completions. So I don't love laying minus 200, of course, on anything, but value is value. Purdy is going to be dared to throw deeper, I think, in this game. And therefore, fewer completions, more big plays, less chance to rack up a ton of those short, easy balls. So Mahomes to have more completions than Brock Purdy, minus 200 on Circa, minus 215 on FanDuel. Just because something is minus money and sometimes minus big money, that doesn't mean that it's not value. Sometimes there's more edge actually on the side that you have to lay a bunch of wood. All right, Evan, your fourth prop, if you have one.
I'm just going to throw a smattering here. I'm just going to go real quick. All right.
Yep.
Bullet points.
Yep.
Smorgasbord. A bet.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling under 15 and a half receiving yards at plus 130. Going to see a lot of Charvarius Ward. You know, I don't really believe in Marquez Valdes-Scantling or this narrative that all of a sudden he comes alive in the playoffs. He has three catches in the playoffs, didn't see more than five targets in a single game all season, played in 19 games, including the playoffs. Sky Moore could be back. Kadarius Toney apparently is going to be back. So I think his playing time, he played 83% of the snaps last week. Justin Watson, first and last touchdown. So hear me out. I think that anytime touchdowns are a fool's bet, okay? Anytime touchdown, the odds on these things are so low. Or they're not fun. The odds are really short. Look at the first and the last touchdown scorer and the odds. Like Justin Watson to score a touchdown anytime is like 5-1. For him to score the first touchdown is 35-1. For him to score the last touchdown is 30-1. So I'd rather take my chances on the longer shot. And there is a scenario, if he scores the first and the last touchdown, then we're really cooking. And, you know, we're going straight to the strip club. So I think I'm taking Brandon Ayuk under 62 and a half receiving yards. That scares me. Brandon Ayuk, one of my favorite players in the league. But from a matchup standpoint, in a game where I think the Brock Purdy is going to struggle, I'm willing to go around even money, 62 and a half receiving yards under Brandon Ayuk.
Leone, are you offended that Silva stole your Justin Watson to score multiple touchdown bit? I thought this was only Leone's bit with dusty players to score multiple touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, at least I had more Sklansky bucks than him, just given the long odds last year. So I got to double check the math on this anytime versus betting both the first and the last. Like, it's possible that Evan's right, but like, it's possible he's not as well there. I gotta double check.
I mean,
that.
Let's just use feel and logic here.
Okay.
Do you ever see the books advertising, bet the first and last touchdown? Never. Maybe sometimes
Excuse me.
Sometimes you'll see it the first touchdown. Okay. They're always advertising anytime touchdowns. That's all you need to know, bro. All you need to know. First and last touchdown, Justin Watson, bet them both and rake in the dough.
Yeah. The
watch that bankroll grow.
To Evan's point, it is a Super Bowl. We're here to have fun. Why take a 5-1 on Justin Watson when you get a 30-1 on Justin Watson? But yeah, you know.
Because there's probably going to be five touchdowns scored, so it's about the same. That's why.
The anytime touchdown stuff, people do love that stuff. It just tilts me when they don't offer a no on the market, right? Like, in order for it to be a fair market, they should be offering, yes, Justin Watson's going to score a touchdown, and let me bet the no, you know? Let me lay a bunch of wood on the no if I like the other side, but they don't do that so they can hold more and more juice without showing people. So that's my biggest, thing against the anytime touchdown markets. All right.
I'd say FanDuel has, I've seen, just in our tool and whatnot internally, like they seem to consistently have the best odds on the anytime. BetMGM sometimes has some really good outlier ones if you are live to bet more than $2 over there. But right. So I'm gonna go Noah Gray anytime touchdown. Just to tell
baby.
At +950. they don't try. I mean, Tony's a disaster. I mean, look, Hartman's the completely
gotta win,
phased dude. Out.
The bet's got to win, and this one ain't winning. So
Noah Gray.
Price doesn't matter if you win, right? I like that anytime. What was that? Oh, but you were talking about like an MVS fade bet. One thing I saw that I thought was kind of weird on Caesars, they have like a head-to-head market player with first reception, and Kelce versus MVS, Kelce's -550. Rice versus MVS, Rice is only -350. And like those like I don't know if that's the right odds, but relative to one another, we have Kelce and Rice for a similar amount of catches, like Kelce for a little bit more. So if you wanted to fade more MVS and lay some wood, you know, the -350 in that one's definitely better than the Kelce bet.
Yeah.
And in general, in some of these markets, I think Rice is undervalued to Kelce. It's hard with the rake to know if there's still value in Rice in a vacuum, but you can have some confidence in knowing Rice is underpriced relative to Kelce.
Yep. All right. I got a couple more here I need to get off my chest. The first one, I want to circle back to what Evan was talking about, the first quarter bets. So first of all, when you're talking about first quarter bets, I think it's important to understand who's going to receive the ball. I expect both teams to defer in this game. In other words, no matter who wins the toss, the opposite team is going to get the ball. And so I don't think there's any edge there. What I do think there's an edge on is in the Super Bowl, teams coming out more conservative, teams coming out tighter. And to Evan's point, you know, if I was really on either of these teams, like I would want to get Purdy settled in with a run heavy attack in the first quarter. And I would want to get Pacheco going in the first quarter against the San Francisco defense that's just been smashed by the run. So they have on DraftKings all these first quarter yardage markets for like everyone. I think it's a super interesting place to look. The one I like most is Brandon Ayuk under 14.5 receiving yards in the first quarter, -110 on DraftKings. You know, we're going to see Ladarius Sneed on Brandon Ayuk. Perimeter receivers have struggled so badly against the Chiefs. I think we could see a run heavy plan here. And Ayuk for the full game, we only have Brandon Ayuk for 61 yards as a median in the full game. In the first quarter, there's going to be less passing. There's going to be fewer plays. You don't get the two-minute drill. You don't get teams being super aggressive at the end of the half, the end of the game. So really like that one. Brandon Ayuk under 14.5 receiving yards in the first quarter, -110. Evan, I thought you might like that one. Any else we want to get off your chest? I have one more.
I do. It's scary because he can just do it in one play.
Sure.
But, I mean, you know that. So,
exactly.
You know, Ayuk's a freaking baller, but it's not a good spot for him on paper.
Agreed. Anything else you want to get off your chest here, props perspective, Evan? Okay, Leone, anything else you want to get off your chest before? I have one more.
One that's like really vibes-based, and me and Court are both on this one, but under 14.5 for the largest lead in the game, -122 on FanDuel. That sort of plays into a lot of things we've been talking about. Evan likes the under on the total in the game, which, you know, that's going to make the largest lead likely to be not as wide. The play count stuff, you know, Kansas City possibly coming out a little bit run heavy, the game playing slower than the public wants. So under 14.5 largest lead, I think it's -120 FanDuel and either -130 or -135 on DK.
Yeah, those derivative type stuff like that are priced just straight based off the total and the line, right? And it's like, if you think you have some angle that is not priced in there, that stuff is going to be good. Also, I mean, all these derivatives are based on the assumption that the line and the total is efficient. Last one I want to get off my chest is the market called who will have the longest run in the game. In other words, who will have the longest carry of the game? Of course, Christian McCaffrey is a big favorite in this spot. Evan, I thought you would like this one. Who will have the longest rush in the game? How about Patrick Mahomes at 11-1? And we talked about already a bunch how this is an interesting spot for Mahomes to maybe run more than usual. We make this +848 for Mahomes to be the guy who has the longest rush in this game. We've seen him have some big runs up the sideline, all over really, up the middle. He is very, very good at the ball fake stuff and then getting going and running. So 11-1 on Mahomes to have the longest rush in the game would be the last one I'd like to get off my chest here today. Evan, I see you going to put that in right now. Yes. It is on that right now.
I like that because I know our stuff in general, we're lower than the market on Mahomes rush stuff. So, you know, if we're showing value on that, it's probably just not priced right by the books. You know what I mean? Like, because we know we're usually on the other side of the Mahomes rush stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right. This was fun. Our annual props show. For more on the Super Bowl, head to the site. We have an incredible amount of Super Bowl coverage up. We offer more on props. We asked everybody on the staff to submit a prop that they like. You can get on there and read about that. We also have Thorne's mismatch is up and Silva's matchup is up as well. For in-season subscribers, we'll be back on Thursday. Myself, Evan, Wiggins, and Cody to talk about the game from a DFS perspective, from a showdown perspective. So stay tuned Thursday. I believe that'll be 2 p.m. Eastern for in-season subscribers previewing the Super Bowl from a DFS perspective. Beyond that, we'll be back sometime soon after the Super Bowl to start talking about the 2024 NFL season. Actually, Evan, I think we should look back at the 2023 season first, go over some of our biggest hits and misses, and then we'll get into the 2024 NFL season.
Just can't wait to talk about Alexander Mattison again.
Yes, it'll be good times. For Evan, for Leone, for everyone on the props team, for everyone on the sim team, appreciate everyone's hard work here ahead of the Super Bowl. I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.